Om gyan tini rand hasya gyan anjanasha Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manum Api Shachiputra Matra Swarupam Rupam Tasya Gajamarupurim Maturim Kushti Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhava Asham Prapto yasya pratita kripaya Shri Gurum tam natos. Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parjana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagarna Lalita Shiva Shakan Vitamscha Hare Krishna Hare Rama, Hari Ram, Ram, Rama, Hari Hari. Black Lives Matter. Police brutality. Killing. The killing will go on. It's going on. It will continue. This is horrible. It's just horrible, isn't it? People are killed. For what? But it's not surprising. Nothing new. The whole civilization, as it's called civilization, is based on killing and exploitation. The original founding fathers of America came to America so that they could be good Christians. And they were good Christians, but I don't know if Christ would have condoned their exterminating to a large extent the native population that was already there. How does that fit with Christianity? Thou shalt not kill. They must have had some justification and thought they were doing a very good Christian thing. But the point is, the American civilization, as it's called, started with killing, and killing was a sport. Bison. Bison is a type of animal similar to a cow, bigger, of which there were tens of millions, according to Wikipedia, in America, until they were almost completely exterminated by the new civilization that had come to America. They killed them for food and also for sport. People would be riding along on the railways and there would be bison grazing in the prairies, and they'd just shoot them and leave them injured to die or whatever. And in this way, the whole population was almost completely exterminated. From Wikipedia, we also learn about the passenger pigeon, one species of pigeon, and it was estimated that previously in America there were 3 to 5 billion passenger pigeons. They would fly in the sky, there'd be so many in a flock that it would be as if the evening had come on a bright sunny day. There were so many. So many were killed, some for food, mostly for fun. The last passenger pigeon died over a century ago. It's a killing civilization. Make America great again. We've heard that. Great means America is still a great economic, political, and military power. But that greatness was built on exploitation, not least that of the slaves who were brought from Africa. For some reason or other, they didn't enslave the native population. Maybe they, for whatever reason, maybe their mentality or they weren't strong enough or whatever, but they thought it fit to bring shiploads of Africans to enslave them. And so in inhuman conditions, it's a well-known history. It wasn't, it's coming out more and more. So America was built on killing and slavery, and black lives didn't matter then. A slave owner could kill his black slave. There was nothing illegal about it. Black lives didn't matter then, at least not to the people who had enslaved them. So the Black Lives Matter movement is there, but what can you expect? Black Lives Matter. Well, it seems to be that the black lives in America are taken more seriously than the black lives in Africa. Why is Africa so poor when there's so much natural resources there? Well, one major reason is that not only Africa, but Latin America, so many huge areas of the world are deliberately kept in poverty so that the people of the richer nations, or particularly the corporations that are seemingly more powerful than the politicians or any other peoples of these countries, that they can prosper, taking advantage of low wages and exploitation of natural resources. So why not protest that? What about all lives matter? No one's protesting that the old people in the developed countries, which are very civilized, they incarcerate the old people, the children, or the state those, the older people who are lucky enough to be incarcerated in some death home where they're looked after until they die, abandoned. If they're not so lucky, they'll be out on the street. What about that? Homeless lives matter. Hundreds of thousands of people in America without a proper home. Why not protest that? Homeless lives matter. What about... there are so many inequities. What about the thousands of people around the world who in recent times have been killed directly or indirectly because of the policies of the governments of the developed countries? What about Afghani lives matter, or Arab lives matter, or Iranian lives matter? Who's protesting that? No, I don't see anyone in America is making a big fuss about that. What about Chinese lives matter? Well, Chinese? We don't like the Chinese. Chinese are the cause of all the problems. That's the propaganda, right? But these Black Lives Matter people are living in opulent America and Britain and everywhere else. One reason we can enjoy all these laptops and clothing is because they're made in sweatshops in China and Bangladesh and some other countries. So who's protesting? Chinese lives matter, Bangladeshi lives matter. There are so many inequities. Then, what about in the Amazon? You finish a protest and then go to the McDonald's and eat a hamburger. That hamburger you're getting courtesy of the rape of the Amazon and the destruction of the rainforest, so that big companies like McDonald's, having destroyed so much of the soil in America, they're going off to the Amazon and destroying the soil there and uprooting the indigenous people. How about that? Why aren't you protesting about that? Why? It seems to be hypocritical. For that matter, you're going and eating your meat. What about cows' lives matter or pigs' lives matter? You might laugh, but they feel pain also. Chickens' lives matter. Fishes' lives matter. What about all the living beings that are killed? So many species, we're told, are going extinct daily because of these rapacious policies of destroying the environment so that we can have all our comforts. Humans, animals, plants, kill them. Kill, kill, kill. It's a killing civilization. Isn't that oxymoronic? Killing civilization. Civilization means you should be civil. The whole civilization is based on killing and exploitation. There's a Holocaust going on every day. One black man is killed here, another black man is killed there. In the meantime, literally millions of living beings are being killed every day. Why don't you see that? Hypocrisy? Torturing and killing millions of animals? Torturing their whole life. Torture, torture, torture. Throughout the whole life, and then just killed. So whether you call yourself Christian or a humanist, or you don't care to call yourself anything, you're just wandering through life, the whole underlying ethic of this so-called civilization is that let others suffer so that we can enjoy. That's not civilization. That is satanic. Let others feel pain. What the hell do we care? Ha! We're enjoying. In one sense, to say Black Lives Matter is meaningless. How is that? Well, there's no such thing as a black life. Life is life. Whether it's black or blue or green or whatever. The body is temporary. The body is composed of chemicals. The skin and all the organs and bones and blood and everything within it, they're composed of chemicals. Chemicals are not life. The life comes from the soul. As long as the soul is in the body, it's alive. When the soul leaves the body, it's dead. So it's not the body. It's not the black body or the white body or whatever body that's alive. It's a semblance of life. It's something like an electric light. It appears to be bright. It is bright, but there's an outside source of energy. Otherwise, without that, the light bulb is not bright. So in the same way, the body is not the person intrinsically. It's a separate kind of energy. The body is only chemicals. So it's this present civilization is a civilization based on ignorance of the most basic ontological fact. Who are we? We may think, I am white, I don't like blacks. But you're only white for the time that you're in that body. It's a short time. In eternal time, it's less than the clicking of a finger. Then we go to another body. Believe it or not believe it, there's sufficient evidence nowadays, even from empiric sources. So we're not the body. So to speak about a black life or a white life, that's making artificial divisions based on ignorance. But this ignorance, that is the basis of the whole civilization that we're raised in. It's just like animals. Animals may kill each other. What do they care? They don't have a higher knowledge. They're also living beings. For food, they may kill each other. They're ignorant. They're in a lower species of life. How do you get in a lower species of life? By living in a human life in a subhuman way. So a society that's based on killing, it's like the violent beasts, like animals, just like among the dogs. Whoever can dominate is the biggest dog, not who's the kindest, who's the most powerful, who's the most respected among the dogs, is the one who can intimidate the others more by barking or by power or even by attacking the others. The Western civilization, so we're told, began with the Greeks. They were also killing. Pax Romana, the Roman Empire, maintained peace, more or less, law and order, within their domain, as long as you agreed to accept the Romans' overlordship. And if you didn't, if you protested that, you were killed. Violently, brutally, just to make sure that others don't get the same idea. All the great civilizations, the British Empire. What was its basis? They say, well, the British were superior. There was, for that short period in history, they were more expert at exploiting and this present body was born in Britain, by the way. White. More expert in dominating others. And yeah, they maintained law and order in their colonies so that they could exploit them peacefully. And whoever rose up against that was brutally killed, crushed, as here in India. Or if not crushed, by killing directly, then starving to death. There's a whole history. These things are coming out more and more and more. Now we have Pax Americana, it's called. Pax is, if you don't know, it's a Latin word, peace. Where's the peace? Peace on earth, or the earth in pieces. Last time I was in America, last time I was in Los Angeles. I saw one car being driven around with huge paintings, so you couldn't miss it. America is addicted to war. It was painted on the car. So it's not that everyone in America is some big demon or that I'm against Americans or whites or blacks, or I'm just trying to tar them with all over the same feather. But there are certain powerful forces at work that are making the world like hell. Ignorance is a powerful force. The ignorance by which we think it's okay to kill blacks or anyone else or any living being. We don't have any, we can't give life, so we have no right to take it away. Any more, living in this world, there is birth, there is death. Some killing will be there. It's unavoidable. But not, real civilization should be one in which killing is minimized. Not one that develops and is sustained by killing, which is the present killing civilization. Again, it's oxymoronic. If a civilization is based on killing, then how is it civilization at all? What is the solution? These Black Lives Matter protests, they're not going to stop the problem. It's not going to stop the problem. Sorry to say. World War I was advertised or promoted, the war to stop all wars. It was supposed to be the last war. I guess they promoted that within the English-speaking countries, within Britain, to enliven the people to get into the war effort. Otherwise, why? What did the British have against the Germans, or intrinsically, what do they have? What's the problem? Why should they go off and kill Germans or be killed by them? There's just like one of the most famous black people in recent times, Muhammad Ali, when he was Cassius Clay in his youth, the world heavyweight boxing champion that I'm talking about. There are so many people called Muhammad Ali after the present time. The world boxing weight champion. When he was drafted to join the U.S. troops in Vietnam, he refused, saying, "I don't have any quarrel with those Vietnamese people. At least they don't call me a nigger." So why this fighting? It's not going to stop. By propaganda, at least, it will go on. Make love, not war, was the hippie battle slogan at their anti-war protests. Make love, a euphemism for having sex like animals. Not war. They didn't want the Vietnam War. They were against the Vietnam War. And I don't see that they cared so much about the Vietnamese people, but the men didn't want to get sent off to Vietnam and get killed. They wanted to stay home and make love with their girlfriends, and their girlfriends wanted them to stay and make love to them. So what I'm seeing, there's a lot of hypocrisy in this, in the name of righteous protest, because everyone's exploiting everyone else in some way or other, and anyway it won't work. Yeah, the war to end all wars, and then within 20 years the Second World War broke out in September 1938. Neville Chamberlain, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, came back from Munich with a piece of paper which was an agreement between himself and Herr Hitler that Britain and Germany would not go to war. And he advertised it famously that peace for our time, the famous words which didn't come true, because within less than a year, World War II broke out. In between, there'd been the League of Nations, which was supposed to jaw-jaw instead of war-war. let's work out our problems by talking. It didn't work. Then came the United Nations. You may have forgotten, but the United Nations was originally formed with the idea that let's all get together, and if there are any problems in the world, there's any premonition of war, instead we'll all get together and we'll make sure that there's no more war. And it's a failure. Wars are going on everywhere. Not everywhere, but in so many countries. It'd be hard, either war or riots or persecution, hot war, cold war, war of attrition, protests, killing of peaceful protesters. We're not going to stop this whole horrible killing civilization by making protests here and there. So what's to be done? We have to go on living like this, dying like this. What is to be done? What's the solution? Okay, here's a proposal. Civilization needs a whole reset. It's based on ignorance. It's based on ignorance of the purpose of life, of why we're alive and why we die, and how we can get free from this cycle of birth and death. We need to come to a higher platform of consciousness. What is the consciousness of a person who kills another living being for no good reason? There could be a good reason. There could be a good reason for killing another living being. For instance, if a tiger escapes from the zoo where we're torturing by impounding him in the zoo, and comes out and starts attacking people, we may kill the tiger. It may be necessary. We may deem it necessary. But what impels people to unnecessarily kill or even inflict pain on others? Again, the meat industry is based on profit, is based on tremendous amount of suffering, pain, giving to a tremendous amount of living beings. Not just the people who work as meat packers for minimum wages, but for the animals themselves. It's not necessary. When I was growing up in merry old England in the 1960s and 70s, becoming vegetarian, we used to hear, no, you need meat for health. Well, now there are so many vegetarians in the Western world, and it's clear that meat is not required for health. Why then does it go on, this meat eating? That means that people are in very low consciousness. Again, they don't mind the suffering. They're oblivious to the suffering of other living beings. Let me enjoy. I will enjoy the taste of that food, and others can suffer. So we need to come to a higher platform of consciousness, and it's a lot more than just being a vegetarian. Not a bad start, but there's a lot more should be done. If we keep people in consciousness like dogs, I'm bigger than you, so I'm chasing you away, then how can we expect peace? How can we expect humanity if we're in doggish, animalistic consciousness? So here's the proposal. Society needs a reset. First of all, We have to understand. We have to come to a higher platform of consciousness. That is possible not simply by talking some platitudes like love and peace and let's all get together. That won't work. We need to practically come to the platform of spiritual consciousness, which is based on spiritual knowledge, which is based on understanding that we are all intrinsically every living being, down to the end and even lower, is a living being. We are spiritual beings, which means that the chemicals which constitute our bodies are not ourselves. We're going from body to body to body. And the purpose of human life is to live in this world as peacefully as possible with the aim of getting free from this cycle of birth and death. At least we should ask the questions: who am I? What is the purpose of life? Why is there suffering in this world? What impels a person to act brutally toward others? We're saying that the Greeks were the original, the beginners of Western civilization. At least they were philosophers. Where's the philosophy nowadays? Eat, sleep, drink, be merry and enjoy, for tomorrow we shall all be dead. At least we should begin to think. And then get the solutions. And the solution is not in some sentimental or fanatical or sectarian religiosity. That's not going to help us either. It hasn't helped the world for all these centuries. We need to come to the platform of spiritual knowledge. Now, okay, I'm talking big talk here. Big talk. Some little insignificant person sitting somewhere and talking as if I got the solutions to the world. What's the practical? What do we do? What are we doing? Well, it would be nice if people of the world would wake up to this. We don't expect that. I'm giving a little talk here and all of a sudden people start fainting all over the place and saying, golly gosh, wow, that's right, and everyone decides to change their life. People are addicted to that which is against their real self-interest. Crazy, isn't it? But even if we know what's good for us, we often don't do it. So I don't expect that the world's going to change immediately. That would be utopian to think so. It's not impossible, but doesn't seem very likely. But at least what I can say what I am doing practically. Well, first I should say I'm a member of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, known among those people who know about it as the Hare Krishna movement. We are followers of Krishna. In recent times, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada founded this society as a continuation of the ancient philosophical and religious tradition of worship of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was not just a spiritually realized soul, but he was also a social visionary. He wanted to change the world to a better course. He didn't advocate, or he was not a great proponent of stopgap measures like opening hospitals or feeding the poor. He wasn't intrinsically against that, but that wasn't his mission. Or to give the kind of education which so-called helps people to become a cog in this exploitive, satanic society. That's not really helping people. For that matter, hospitals, okay, hospitals are needed, but making hospitals so that people can continue in ignorance in repeated birth and death, that's not really helping them in the truest way. So Srila Prabhupada, he wasn't a proponent of these stopgap measures. When we say social visionary, we think, well, how are we going to make society so that everyone gets their fair piece of the cake? Well, that's not going to happen, that everyone gets their fair piece of the cake. There's never going to be equality. Even Lord Jesus, he wisely said, the poor will always be with us. But instead of trying to make the kingdom of God on earth without God, Srila Prabhupada advocated the ancient Vedic Varnashram system, which is a society in which everyone is seen as equal spiritually because everyone is understood to be a servant of God. But there is necessary social hierarchy. So the goal of life is spiritual, which means that there's the idea that let me exploit others won't be there. But there is a social hierarchy also. Some people are more intelligent than others. Some people are natural managers. Some people are natural intellectuals. Some people like to work with their hands. So it's a very scientific system, you can say. Srila Prabhupada wanted to practically implement this at the microcosmic level. So on Srila Prabhupada's order, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is committed to establishing rural communities based on simple living and high thinking and Varnashram society, microcosmically, and let people see. To establish these communities and cut out as far as possible from the exploitive demonic civilization in which killing goes on as a matter of course. So that's our practical solution. I'm personally involved in overseeing several such farm projects here in India. I'm speaking in India, in which we're living without electricity, growing our own food, and living community-based life in which we all come together to glorify Krishna. So let us know if you want to help. We need a lot of help. It's not easy. Or if you want to get involved, thank you. Hare Krishna.